Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. Today we continue our series on the I Am statements of Jesus Christ, focusing on his promise of victory over death as he declares, I am the resurrection and the life. May the Lord encourage your heart as you hear today's message.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekends come around, and here we are preaching the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's all we're praying that if you don't know Jesus, you'll open your hearts to him today and take him in as your Lord and Savior. Well, I want to start with a few of the letters because we get so many nice letters. And so I want to share some of them with you because they're asking questions that you're asking. And so we can minister in that way. First one I have is from Wichita, Kansas. And they write, God bless everyone on this fantastic Christian show. I wouldn't miss it. And it's called, they call it a fantastic Christian show. And it is because we're preaching the Bible. That's the power. That's the glory. That's where God is honored. That's the thing he's going to bless. That's what makes it fantastic and makes it different than many preaching. And that use the Bible, not just one verse, then take off wild yonder, but preach the word of God and teach it. Well, here's Portland, Oregon. And this person says, I enjoy listening to the worship hour every Sunday before I go to church. I'm 88 years old, so I can identify with Pastor Salem. I was saved when I was 27 years old, working in a sawmill. A friend invited me to his church and I got saved. I've sinned many, many times, but the Holy Spirit keeps pulling me out of it and applying the cleansing blood and pulling me back to his grace. He's a wonderful Savior. Keep on preaching about Jesus. And this fella has it just exactly right. That wonderful Holy Spirit, when we drift away, and we all have a tendency to drift away, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us to bring us back and to turn us, and we come repenting to Jesus and asking for forgiveness, and he forgives us every time. If it's 1,000 times, he'll forgive us every time we ask for it. And he says, the Holy Spirit keeps pulling me out of it. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus says, howbeit when he, that is the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And that's what he's doing with this man. He's guiding him into the truth. And when he drifted a little off kilter, the Holy Spirit speaks to him. The Holy Spirit speaks to me all the time. Because not only what you do, but what you think. And maybe something you should do that you don't do. So the wonderful Holy Spirit, third person of the Holy Trinity, is God. And he speaks to us to guide us along the pathway. Listen to the Spirit. And if the Spirit says to you, you need to have Jesus, you says, I want Jesus, and you pray to accept him. We're going to get into that and give you that opportunity in just a few minutes. Here's a Minnetonka, Minnesota. Our hotel happened to have your program on the TV in the lobby breakfast area. It blessed me so much as I heard you share God's word regarding salvation in Jesus and his second coming. So here they are in the hotel and in this little place where they have the lunch or the breakfast. They have our program on. You know why they got our program on there? Because there's some Christian working in there. And he or she, that Christian, has tuned us in. That's exactly what the old sinners won't do it. They'd turn us off. But I just love to know if you want to write in, and if you're a Christian, and I just would love to know. But I just put anything on it. This is a Christian tuning us in. Thank you, and God bless you, my dear friend, my dear sister, brother or sister, whatever it might be. Here is one thank you, Pastor Salem, for blessing me with the wonderful word of God. Pray for me. And the word of God does bless and help us. And then one last one I want to read is Tampa, Florida. And they write, we praise the Lord for your long life and beautiful ministry. My husband and I agreed to keep sending contributions as long as the Lord sustained you. He finished the race that My husband finished the race that was set before him on April 4th. He had prepared himself for that day for most of his life, so it was a joyous fulfillment when he met his Savior face to face. I'm happy for him, and I'll see him again with love, joy, and gratitude to Jesus for you bringing the message. And so here's a dear brother, just went to be with the Lord in April. And now his wife is left behind, so she'll watch this service. Used to watch together, now she'll watch it alone. And she says that she'd go anxious to see him. And I get letters from people, and it says, well, we know our loved ones in heaven. And I've written a little booklet, I can't remember, I think it's about 12 or 15 pages, something like that. A little booklet entitled, Will We Know Our Loved Ones in Heaven? And the answer is, yes, we will. And so if you'd like a copy of that, you get your pencil and paper ready, and I'll tell you our address in just a few minutes after the sermon. And we send this out on a free will offering basis. So if you can pay us something for it, then fine. If you don't have any money or you're in prison or something like that, you just write to us free and postpaid. And we know that somebody else will pick it up and help us. We've been doing it this way now for over 40 years. God has never let us down. And we're all because we're supported by God's people. And we just tell people over and over, you know, we don't have any source of income but the God's people. So you ask the Lord, you know, should I help this program? Is this a worthy program? And if God says yes, then just say yes. Okay, and what do you want me to send? So we need your prayers and we need your gifts. So I'm going to give the address so you can write your letters, but I'm going to give that in just a minute because I can't wait to get into my sermon. And our sermon today is on the one of the great I Ams of Jesus. This is the sixth. He gave eight I Ams, and this is number six. And number six is this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that startling statement Jesus gave us, the sixth I Am. And what a tremendous I Am it is. It means that Jesus Christ was dead, but he came back to life again. He was dead, was raised from the dead after 3 days in the tomb. That's no small thing, my friend. As a matter of fact, Christianity is the only religion in the world that has a founder who was dead and brought back to life again, the only one. And so I would sure give Christianity a good look, because we have a founder that was dead for 3 days and three nights in the tomb and was raised from the dead by the glory of God, and he lives forever and he's in heaven watching over us. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That is precisely what Jesus declared when he had a vision, what Jesus declared when St. John had a vision of him in heaven. Jesus declared, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And because he is forever alive, he is able to declare to Martha, to the whole wide world, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And that's John 11, 25 and 26. Now, did you get that? He said, never die. I remember as a young boy going to a funeral sometime in the 1930s. So I was about 10, 12, 13 years old, something like that. And the pastor read a scripture, and we were at the funeral. And the pastor read, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. And yet there's that casket and that corpse in there, and that thing is as dead as a mackerel. He died. He didn't have to have a Philadelphia lawyer to figure that one out. He was dead. And I thought Jesus must have had it wrong, or the pastor must have quoted it wrong, because he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But I discovered later on that Jesus was right and I was wrong. And it was simply this. If I put my trust in Jesus, if I receive him into my heart as mine, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart and take away my sins. He will come into my heart and take away my sins. And he will give me eternal life, and I will never die. I will never die spiritually. I'll die physically if the Lord returns and waits that long. I'll die physically. But when Jesus said, Jesus talks about it, he talks about that spirit, that eternal life that he gives us. And you remember this, when Jesus died on the cross, he cried with a loud voice and he gave up the spirit. When a person dies, it simply means we give up our spirit and it goes to heaven or it goes to hell. That's all. And so here it is. The spirit lives forever. It's eternal. It lives in heaven or it lives in hell. It never ceases to live. It will never die. It's eternal. Now, your body is corruptible, but your spirit and soul are incorruptible, and they are eternal, and they're going to be on this earth until you leave this earth, and then they're going to be in heaven or hell, but they're going to be alive. And that's taught over and over in the scripture. So when I accepted Jesus as a 10-year-old boy, Jesus saved my spirit and my soul. That spirit and soul will never die. Because when I ask Jesus to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I promised to turn from our sins the best way I could and live for him, when I did that, he gave me eternal life. And that soul, when it's going to leave this body, but it was going, you see, that eternal life started the minute I accepted Jesus. It's been going in now on earth level for 88 years. One of these days, pretty soon now, I'm going to die, and the spirit and soul are going to leave that body. It's going to heaven, into the presence. I'll never die. They may have a funeral for me, and that's just fine. You do what you want. But that spirit and soul, it would just simply goes to be with God. So the body lives on earth. It's of the earth, earthy. And when that is another time when Jesus comes, he's going to raise all the people, the righteous and the unrighteous, the believers and the unbelievers. And the body's going to be eternal, and it's going to be in heaven, and it's going to be in hell, one of the two. They call it death, but for the Christian, it is life. That night when Jesus gave me eternal life, he started 88 years ago. I've had it, and I'll have it till I meet him. It'll take me all the way to heaven. Praise this dear Jesus. And so the risen Christ is the risen Christ of all power, and the power to forgive sins, and the power to raise the dead. He has the power to ascend unto the Father in heaven, where he is right now. He has the power to sit at the Father's right hand. He has power to intercede for us and to pray for us every day of our life as our high priest. He is the one that's got power to come again, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And then this earth is going to be dissolved by fire, and there's going to be that eternal hell. And there's going to be a beautiful new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. And we're going to be with God in his heaven forever. But you have to have Jesus. That's why we're preaching all the time. And that's why we have people who help to put this on. And we have multitudes of people who support us. Because we want you to have Jesus. And Jesus said as plain as day, he told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm coming again. The angels of God said the same thing. Jesus has ascended up into heaven. Before the crowd of disciples could disperse, the angel said, this same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner if ye have seen him go into heaven. There just can be no question about it. Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the all-powerful Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now, when he comes again, some things are going to happen. For one thing, when Jesus comes again, he's going to fully redeem his church. That is, when we take church, we're not talking about some building or some organization. We're talking about believers. Those who accepted Jesus Christ and have been born again and are a part of the body of Christ, that's who we're talking about. Just because they put a shingle out front and says church doesn't mean they're a church at all. Some of them are clubs and some are worse than clubs. They're cults that'll put your soul in hell. And when we talk about church, we're talking about people who have personally accepted Jesus Christ. Like Jesus said, you must be born again. And that be born again means we ask Jesus into our life and we become new creations in Christ. That's what we talk about when we talk about the church. When a person is born again, that person is completely saved and perfectly saved. But remember this, we have more than spirit and soul, but we have this body, and we have this body as long as we're on earth. And it's going to remain on earth, and then we're going to die, and it's going to go back to the dust from whence it came. But when Jesus comes again, he's going to come, and we're going to come with him spirit and soul, and he's going to raise the bodies of all of the Christians all over the world and unite that body with that spirit and soul, because now it's a corruptible body. But when Jesus raises it up, it's going to become incorruptible, and we shall be with the Lord forever. Oh, our body remains here on earth, and it's until he comes. But when he comes again, oh, we're going to have that wonderful, glorious Savior who saves us and helps us. So God says that the dead body of the believer is going to be raised from the dead. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, he's going to be raised in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. There's no power that can impede this process. There's no way it can be stopped, because God says in 1 Corinthians 15, 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so that's exactly what happens. And this body of them, we're going to have this same body come back, but it's going to be changed. And it's going to be a body like the Lord Jesus. And it's going to be changed for the better. And I'm going to be good looking when I get to heaven, see? And that's what God tells us. This body, we're going to be like him, see? And he says, Paul writes about it in Philippians chapter 3. And he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at what he says, who shall change this lowly body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. John writes, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 5, verse 2. And so he's going to change all of this, going to redeem this church. Body, soul, and spirit have been the spirit and soul are already redeemed. Now the body comes. And then here's something else. When Jesus comes again, he's going to finally destroy Satan. Satan's days are numbered, and he knows it. And that's why he works so fiercely all the time, bringing as much sin into the world. And oh, my friends, I've been preaching now for 75 years. And 75 years ago when I started out, it was a whole different world. And it's a worse world. It's changed for the worse by leaps and bounds. God Almighty have mercy. And this now Satan, he's doing everything he can to destroy it. And he brings sorrow to the children of God. He brings misunderstanding among us. He causes all these troubles and trials. He's in the drug traffic, head of the drug traffic, destroying so many precious young people. He's the one that brings all of these temptations and brings us into sin. If we possibly can do it, he brings us into sin and destruction. And so what's going to happen to Satan? Well, we're told it's going to be the great white throne, and heaven and earth are going to flee away. And all they're going to be there is that great white throne, and Satan will be there. And all of the people who didn't accept Jesus, they accepted Satan. They stayed with the devil. They'll be there. And let's read about it. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Revelation 20, verse 10. Satan will be destroyed, and all of those who are in Satan's camp will be destroyed also. Because once we come to that age of accountability, 10, 12, 13, it's different. When we can make a reasonable choice, when we can think a little bit, and God can speak to us. If we don't receive Jesus Christ, we belong to Satan. And I know what people say. Oh, I'm not, I don't want Satan. And I'm going to be neutral. I'm going to be neutral. Jesus has settled that when he said, he that is not for me is against me, period. You're in or you're out. You're black or you're white. You're saved or you're lost. You're in heaven or hell. That's all there is to it. Why not come to Christ? He wants you to come. He's begging you to come. And then another thing that happens when Jesus comes again, he's going to reward all his saints for the work that they've done for him and how they served him and followed him. He says, for instance, in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And that's for Christians only, because you can't work to become a Christian. You become a Christian by accepting Jesus and turning from your sins. But once you're with the Lord, you belong to him, he's going to reward you for all of everything you've done for him, even if it's been a cup of cold water that you've given to one of his servants. 1 Peter 5:4 tells us, for when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And I'm telling you, when I preach about these people being rewarded for the Lord, I think of the persecuted church. We pray for the persecuted church every service we have. And we do that because I know they are suffering unto death. And yet they do it for because they love Jesus and they won't give in to Satan. And I am so thrilled that on our internet, on our shortwave radio, we reach 90% of the world's population. We are reaching the persecuted church. Right now, they're praying with us and working with us and serving Jesus. And every week, we never fail. We pray for the persecuted church in some part of the world. And so what are we going to do? Let me quench it right away what you need to do. The first thing you need to do is to become a Christian. And Jesus talked about that. He talked to Nicodemus, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. He says, Jesus tells John, you must be born again. He didn't say, I suggest that you be born again, or it'd be a good thing if you would be born again. I wish you would be born again, or all that kind of a stupid talk. He said, you must. That's it. Must, period. And so Nicodemus, he almost falls over, because Nicodemus was a religious man. He knew that Old Testament backwards and forwards and in and out. He knew he was a teacher of the Jews. He taught the scriptures. And he never heard of such a thing as a new birth. Maybe you go to a church, you never hear the pastor say, you ought to be born again. Well, Jesus said it, so maybe you ought to start saying it. You need to be born again. And he says, how can a man be born again? He says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Here, what you see is what happened is this. He is thinking of the material. He can't get his mind off of the material. But Jesus is talking about the spiritual, the wonderful spirit. And Jesus says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. And so then you need to come to Jesus. And how are you born again? You're born again by accepting the Lord. We're told that many as received him, to them gave he become the children of God. You're born again. Jesus says, he stands at the door and knocks. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And right now, all over the world, there are people. You don't see voices, you don't hear bells and lights and all, but there's something that says, I need Jesus and I want Jesus. And you know how you can have Jesus? You ask him, he's standing at the door of your heart. He's knocking, and you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. I'm sorry for my sin, and I'll turn from it the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed that when I was 10 years old. 88 years ago, I prayed that prayer. I remember it as plain as day. And Jesus came into my heart, and he will never leave me, and he's going to be with me all the way home, all the way to heaven. You pray that prayer. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All you shortwave people, I'm going to give it to you now in another minute. And you write to us, and if you say, I've accepted Jesus, we'll send you literature. Wherever you are in the world, we will send you literature. And you can get started on the Christian life. And then I tell you something else. We have to have you support us financially, because our only source of income is God's people. And so you just pray and just say, dear Jesus, is this something that you're using? Do you want me to help with these people? And he'll tell you. And if he says, then you just say, how much, Lord? And then you send it. I'll tell you where you send it. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002 in good old Aberdeen. You don't need to put that on there. Just say Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you're worrying about how we spend the money, we're a member of the international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check our books and we're as clean as a hound's tooth. And there's every account for every penny we have. So you need to have you help us. And then if you want to, we have a little Bible study. And it's called The New Song. And it's talking about how that 8 ways to overcome being despondent or discouragement. So you write, and we'll be looking for your letter. Now we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in China. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes of people that have prayed that prayer right now. They're born again. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to see them in heaven. Oh, God, may nobody turn you away. And then we pray for our brothers and sisters in China. Lord, they're giving their life for you. Help them to know that we're supporting them with prayer, and we admire their great stand. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And oh, let me say, I tell you this, God loves you. God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. All of the workers in the Christian Worship Hour love you. They're almost all volunteers giving their time. And I love you. And I want to see you in heaven so bad. But I can't make the decision. You make it, and I'll see you.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.